Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this episode of the Horsemanship Journey Podcast. My name is Shane Jacob, your host, and I appreciate you for taking your time to be with us today. Today, I'm excited to introduce Roman Fisher. When Roman Fisher saw his grandfather and a close family friend pass away due to serious health problems related to unhealthy eating habits, he knew he didn't want the same thing to happen to himself or to the people he knew and that he loved. So he decided to help transform people's lives one body at a time and to ultimately help transform the world. Roman Fisher is an actor, which I did confirm recently appeared in the movie Reagan. An actor, a model, a bodybuilder, a fitness coach, motivator, and entrepreneur. Roman, thank you so much for taking your time to be with us today.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Cool. Well, Roman, tell us a little bit more about your story, where you came from, and how you got to be a fitness coach, and how that all began.
Yeah, for sure. So I was born in Ohio, grew up most of my life in Arkansas, actually. My dad's job actually relocated me and my family here. But growing up, you know, throughout life, I was never really into fitness. I know it sounds crazy, especially if you follow me, see my background in fitness, that's one of my core things right now. And it's crazy to say that, you know, and a lot of people to hear that. But yeah, growing up throughout school, I did not really care too much about fitness. The only thing I did that was even, you know, physically active at all whatsoever was playing soccer and maybe a little basketball for about a couple of years. But beyond that, I didn't really care too much about exercise, the importance of it. And really, clean eating was not my bag. It was not my thing. And honestly and frankly, I just ate whatever came to mind, whatever was in front of me at the moment. So I was always one of those kids that would go to school like everyone else, come home and just lounge around, play video games, watch TV, and not really pay much of a mind to working out or healthy or clean eating at all. And so throughout so many years of that, I could start noticing that, you know, I developed things like ADHD, OCD. I felt more lethargic. I didn't feel so energetic, and I just didn't feel myself. And then I really got into depression, anxiety, fear, things, you know, those things that really hold people back, those things that really limit people from their true and full potential. And so just my lack of exercise, my lack of caring about my body, my health, and those things really affected my mental health then. And when your mental health is affected, obviously it goes hand in hand with your physical health too. So growing up, I was really lacking those things. I was put on so many different medications for ADHD, OCD, depression, you name it. And it was crazy the amount of medications that I was put on growing up in school as a kid. And so over time, I didn't want to live like that. I just felt bad. I didn't feel confident in myself with how I felt, with how I looked, especially because growing up in school, I was always picked on for being that skinny kid, that kid that, you know, wasn't in shape. He wasn't on the football team. He wasn't big. He wasn't strong, wasn't muscular. And so that also really affected my overall self-confidence and self-image. And so when I put all that together, I decided I didn't want to live like that anymore. And so about when I was 14, 15 years old, my younger brother actually started weightlifting and picking up the weights. And I saw that, and I saw those changes that he was making. His energy was better. He started to feel more confident himself. And just seeing those, you know, progressions in his body with how he looked, and even more so how he felt, that actually inspired me to want to do the same thing. I wanted to get that six pack. I wanted to get, you know, those, that strength, those muscles on my body that I didn't have before. And I just really wanted, you know, more than anything, wanted to increase my self-confidence, my self-image, my overall, you know, self-worth in myself. And I wanted to invest in my health. And after I did that, I didn't obviously see the results right away, but I did. I will tell you this. I did see the results right away when it came to my energy. The endorphins that I got from working out, I mean, it exponentially transformed how I felt every single day. I woke up feeling better and already just more confident. I already felt more confident in myself, knowing that I was literally improving myself even a little bit every day that I would work out. So ever since I started doing that, I honestly never looked back. But I also want to add this. At that time, I was improving my health with my physical exercise, but I was still lacking my nutrition because I would still eat just about, not quite at, you know, anything and everything, because I was starting to get more of a handle and grip on my nutrition, but it was still lacking. And so when I researched what was inner foods, what was inner dreams, I started to come to the conclusion and that realization that these, you know, a lot of what they're putting in our stores and a lot of what we're putting in our body is not good for us. There's so many chemicals, so much added sugar, so much, you know, just artificial nonsense that's pumped into our foods, that's pumped into our drinks, and it doesn't do any good to us. It does not serve us one bit. And really, that's what led, I mean, not completely, but that's one of the main driving factors that led to my ADHD, OCD, because it has been proven with a lot of extensive research that these artificial colors, like blue number one, yellow number five, things like that, can actually lead and cause ADHD, OCD, anxiety, things of that nature. So when I started to research that more and research that further, I just became tired of it. Like, I didn't want to put that in my body. And a lot of the ingredients you can't even pronounce, you know, on those ingredient labels that they have in the store that you look at. I mean, it's insane. The amount of ingredients, not even to mention the fact that you can't pronounce most of them anyway. So I started seeing that and I'm like, if I can't pronounce it, I probably shouldn't be putting it in my body. I'll just say that much. So after I started seeing that, and coming to that realization, I finally started cleaning up my diet. Now, I'll admit, it was not an overnight thing. Like most things, it takes time, because when you're such a heavy sugar addict, and I was, just like my grandpa was, when I started cleaning up my diet, I had to gradually do it, gradually phase it out. Because you can't just go cold turkey. Just like if you quit cigarettes, you got to gradually taper off of it. I mean, some people can, but most people can't just go cold turkey and quit. So that's what I had to do with my diet. With sugar, I had to limit my sugar, but gradually wean off of it. But then over time, I finally broke free, and honestly, I feel better than I've ever felt before.
That's so interesting, Roman, that, you know, I think most of us, know that, and we hear it, but I don't know if we're really like living it and applying it and really taking it in. I was wondering if you could just go back a little bit. As you might know, we talk to a lot of teens. So I just wanted to rewind just a little bit back into that place when you were there, because it sounds like you really believed that as a result of what you were eating primarily, that it was giving you this low energy, and it sounds like you believe it was actually creating all of these results that resulted in the medication, and then the medication made you feel worse, and then
yes,
it just sounded like a terrible cycle. I mean, what was going on inside your head in all this time?
Yeah, for sure. So in that time, it was a really rough time, to say the least, a very, very rough, challenging time for me. And yeah, it was just a back and forth, you know, I was eating bad, and then I had all these bad negative effects, symptoms, if you will. And then after that, I felt like I had to go on medication. And honestly, growing up, that's what my parents thought was best too, for my mental health and my mental well-being. But then when I went on all these medications, yeah, it did ease some parts of my anxiety, maybe some, you know, sometimes my depression, but it also brought on weight gain. It made me feel more lethargic. So there were always these side effects that would come at it. You know, it would maybe put a Band-Aid on one thing, but then it would create another problem. So it was just a back and forth thing. And what I was thinking internally inside my head at that point during that time was, man, I just can't ever get better. Like, I can maybe improve one thing, two things if I'm lucky, but then it's going to create a whole nother series of problems. And I just felt so hopeless at that point. I felt like my world was honestly crashing down on me. I felt hopeless, useless. I felt just very low with my energy. My confidence was honestly at an all-time low. And I didn't feel like there was anything I could do to make it better, no matter what I could say or, you know, try. I felt like I tried almost anything and everything in the book.
That's a terrible feeling. I saw a video where you were describing this ultimate low of lows where you actually tried to take your life. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what it led to that ultimately. At that point, I got so low in my just overall feelings, my mindset. Everything was so low, like so low. It could not be any lower. In fact, it was at such a, you know, low that I just didn't feel like there was any hope. I felt like I had to give up on living. And it sounds dramatic to some people. It sounds crazy to some people to just want to give up, to want to quit, to want to throw in the towel. But I felt like I had no other option because I exhausted so much effort just going on medication after medication. And then literally trying to think more positively, but I couldn't because I was weighed down by these medications and my eating habits were just consistently bad. They were consistently, you know, not good, consistently unhealthy. And I just kept, you know, being that dog that kept chasing its tail. And so at that time, I just felt like giving up. You know, I got to the point after so much bullying in my life growing up in school, after so much trial and error that did not serve me, I had enough. I had enough. I wanted to quit for good. And so what I did was, at that point, I walked up to the medicine cabinet. I just ingested and inhaled a lot of different medications that obviously were not prescribed to me. They were over-the-counter medications. But I had so much of it, of each one, where it was bound to honestly kill me. And I ingested all those. I felt not the effects right away, but then I started feeling bad. I started feeling very nauseous. My heart was beating very fast. I had a really, really sick feeling in my stomach. And so that I went to the bathroom in the house feeling like I was going to die. I actually felt like I was going to die. And honestly, I was probably on the cusp of dying. And so I went to my bathroom and just sat in there, just worried, had anxiety through the roof like I've never, never, ever had before. And I was just sitting on the toilet in the bathroom, just feeling like this is not going to ever, you know, the bad feeling would never end. I felt like I was honestly living a slow death at that point. That I was living out my last moments, but very painfully and very slowly. And so I called my mom and just let her know about what I did, how I felt, how I didn't want to live anymore, but that I was actually now afraid of dying. It was such a slow, painful death that I was feeling. And obviously I wasn't actually, or never fully died, luckily, because I'm here right now, but it was so close. My heart was beating so fast. I was nervous and felt like I had to get my stomach pumped then. And then luckily my mom was there for me and she was comforting me on the phone, keeping me in that headspace that, you know, while you are at a risk of potentially dying, you're going to get through this. So just giving me that little bit of hope, even though it didn't sound fully realistic, it got me through it. And somehow I did survive all those medications that I ingested because I basically overdosed on all these OTCs or over-the-counter medications. And honestly, it's been a testimony. It's been a testimony. And I've never went back since. I've never, ever tried or committed suicide after that. But that was definitely a wake-up call that I'm here for a reason and that I'm alive for a reason. And then I'm here to help other people out, not just with fitness, not just with their health, but with their mindset and their mental health too, as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah, you said it may sound dramatic or overly this or that or the other, and to me it does not at all. It sounds realistic, and there's so many people that have thoughts or similar thoughts, kids. You know, if it were possible, Roman, and you could right now, if you could look back and talk to just before like that event in that stage of your life to your 13-year-old self, what do you think you might say to yourself at that point if you could talk to your past self at that stage of the game?
Yeah, for sure. Man, yeah, it's one of those things, knowing what I know now, if I could tell myself back then. So if I were able to go back in time and tell my younger past self anything, I would undoubtedly have to tell him that, you know, pain is going to be part of life. Pain is part of life, but pain is only temporary. Pain's only temporary. Nothing lasts forever. But that also includes these, you know, negative experiences, these depressing and anxious moments of life, the pain, the agony that people feel, that I felt, I would tell myself, it's only temporary, and it's only here for a phase. It is only truly here for a season. It's not permanent. It is not here to stay. And that growth, what you're going to learn from any and all bad experiences, you're going to only grow. And you're only going to become stronger and better. You're going to become the better person. And eventually, you're going to become the better man for it. So just hang in there. Don't take those pills. And just realize, again, fully realize, that this is just a temporary phase. But it's meant to only strengthen and empower you.
That right there is awesome, Roman. I mean, there's a lot there, but that's excellent. I mean, it is true that we, a lot of times, even as adults, we get to thinking that what's in front of us, we forget that it's a temporary condition, you know, because of the magnitude of it. And the other thing that you said that was such a powerful point right there is that, and it's the same thing as adults, but I mean, if we could embrace this as kids, and if we could know, you know, people around us, and this is no judgment about, you know, anyone else or our parents or the people around us or our teachers, but if we could know sooner than later and accept the idea that, hey, pain and discomfort and all of these things that don't feel good, it's going to be okay, you know, and it's part of the deal. It's not like something's wrong with this. It's just kind of part of life. So I loved your answer. That was super powerful. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's you put all this emphasis on how you started to feel, and I mean, thank God for your brother, right? I mean, you saw this and you had this kind of vision of the way things could change for you, and so I wanted to come back a little bit, just switch gears a little bit to the importance of that you put on health and why it's such an important thing. Could you just talk about that a little?
Yeah, 100%. So health, man, it is super important. And I know it's been said a lot, and it could sound cliche to some people for sure, but health is wealth. Whether it's mental health, physical health, or emotional health, even spiritual health, that some people might even say. So honestly, having health in general, though, in all those areas is essential, and it's key for your well-being and for, you know, success in anything, even outside of fitness and nutrition and health. You need your health to actually perform your best for your career, for your business, to be there and show it better for yourself and for other people, you know, with your family, your loved ones, and just to be able to show up and be more present and just to be, you know, more authentically you, and not be a lesser version of yourself. Be able to give the maximum protection to your wife, if you're a husband, the maximum, you know, value to your kids as a father, if that's what you are, or a mother, if that's who you are. So no matter what the role is for you in life, having your health in check is important. And just to be able to be around longer for your family, for your loved ones, you know, for leaving a legacy for your family and for your loved ones. And beyond that, honestly, just so you can get the most out of life, because life is so short as it is. And that's all the more reason to focus and really, really fixate on your health and the overall importance of that. And even if it's just going for a walk, watching what you eat, portioning your meals, focusing on more protein and getting your water in, getting your sleep in, stretching after you work out, just really focusing on your body and seeing it as a temple. And there's a quote, I forget who says it, but it's your body. You live in it every day, so take good care of it. So you got to take care of it because you're always with yourself. You're always living with yourself and you're living in your body. So you got to treat it as such. You got to treat it as a temple because it is truly a temple.
Awesome. Yeah. So you mentioned there that, okay, let's just say that, you know, I'm recognizing that either myself or my kids or both of us or whatever, whether it's us or our kids or both as parents, you know, we recognize that, you know, so that there's a problem that we want to change in our physical health. And I agree with, you know, but it's easier to like see the physical, you know, because you can see it, right? Nobody can really see what's the sentences that are floating through here. But if we recognize that we have a problem with our physical health, right? We're overweight or we're low energy or whatever the thing is. I mean, you mentioned some things, but I think a lot of us, what we do is the last thing we're thinking about is sleep. and then the first thing we're thinking about is just like, oh, I heard this diet. Let's all get on board and do this. And so I was wondering, like, if you could just kind of give us the basics of the beginning, if we recognize there's a problem, kind of the best way to begin to approach it.
Yeah, 100%. If you're like most people, you're probably trying to lose weight. Obviously, some people are just in it to gain muscle, strength, or just maybe general maintenance and fitness and health. So if you're like most people, though, especially in America, just trying to lose weight, tone up, get in shape, the best thing to do first and foremost is to be in a caloric deficit. So be in less or consume less calories, or at least burn more calories than you're putting in your body. So just being in that deficit, because that's really only one true surefire way to lose weight and burn fat effectively. That's the first thing. Other than that, focus on more of a high protein diet. No matter your fitness goals, really. Because when you do this, it maintains strength, muscle, but it also can maximize fat burning. Because protein will keep you full longer, and it will make it a lot harder to overeat. And it just makes it a lot easier to get through your workouts and consistently maintain that muscle and just be more satiated. Beyond that, getting more sleep is key. Now, it's not the number one thing. It's being in that deficit because you got to be in that caloric deficit with higher protein and work out at least 3 to 4 times a week. But I'd say the next thing after nutrition and workouts is sleep for sure. Because if you don't have your sleep, you're not going to get a good quality workout in. You might work out, but your workouts will not be on point as much as they could be and as well as they could be if you do get at least 7 to 8 hours of good, solid quality sleep and rest. Beyond that, too, when you sleep, your body's actually building or at least strengthening, maintaining that muscle and burning that fat. So when you're sleeping, that's really and truly when that action is taking place with your body. So sleep is essential just for those reasons. But not even to mention, when you get better quality sleep, you actually feel better. You look better. You'll be younger and you'll look younger. Not even to mention, you're going to reduce the risk of heart attacks, diabetes, all these other illnesses and all these other diseases that people encounter and that people face and honestly regret if they're faced with such things. But on top of that too, it just makes you feel more refreshed and you just feel more alive. You're happier. Depression will actually reduce dramatically when you get your sleep too. So that's another reason that sleep is key. So definitely nutrition, diets, most of it, at least 70 to 80% of it. Then workouts is about the other 20%. But then you also got to make sure right after those two that you also get your sleep in there. So that's a very small percentage, but it's a big enough percentage at the bottom to still be almost just as important as the other two. So those are the main things diet and nutrition, workouts, and sleep.
Right on. Right on. That's super helpful. I appreciate the appreciate that. So I was wondering if you could just go on a little bit about, you know, like, you know, for example, if we were to say, okay, I'm going to make this plan and I'm going to go for it. And then, you know, we kind of get into it and then we, I don't know, we run into something and then maybe we go off course and then we throw the whole thing away. So I was just wondering if you had any advice or how you advise people or how you yourself deal with the setbacks that happens when we, you know, put a new plan in place.
Yeah, for sure. So the best way to deal with setbacks and honestly prevent them even and overcome them if they do come up and they do get, try to get in the way. The best way to do this and handle this is honestly create a strategy that's very minimal. So don't, for example, if you're trying to get into workouts, you're trying to get into exercise, don't think for sure that you have to go to the gym. Like you don't have to, you can, but don't think you for sure have to go to the gym starting out. You can literally work out at home and do this like 3 days a week. So full body workouts, 3 days a week from home. That way you're not dealing with that commute time there and back. And if you're pretty busy, you have a hectic schedule. Maybe your job's super, super crazy and hectic. You can literally just make up for that just working out at home after you get up in the morning. And honestly, doing that before you work and even doing like 20, 30 minute full body circuits, that can get a lot of calories burnt, strengthen your muscles, even, you know, increase some muscle growth too, while also not, you know, taking too much time out of your day in the process. And doing this just 3 days a week, 20, 30 minute workouts, you're only working out about an hour and a half max throughout the week then. And you're doing it from home. You could do literal just full body calisthenics, push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups if you have a pull-up bar. And then honestly, just a lot of other different types of sit-ups and ab workouts, like planks, elbow planks, side planks for your obliques. So those are different ways and strategies you can actually deal with these setbacks. Because a lot of the times that a lot of people quit, or at least slow down, is one of the main setbacks being lack of time, because their schedule's so hectic. So that's definitely a recommendation that I have for that. Another recommendation is if you're dealing with maybe lack of motivation, lack of accountability, that can be another major setback for a lot of people. So a great way to deal with lack of motivation and accountability is honestly just getting some kind of mentor. It could be a coach, doesn't have to be, but having some kind of coach or mentor just guide you every single step of the journey. So that way it keeps you on course and it keeps you on track. And it prevents you from, you know, falling off track and even worse yet, going backwards. So that's another crucial thing as well. And then honestly, remembering all your past accomplishments, that can also keep that motivation, keep that drive, keep that fire, and keep that overall consistency to keep pushing forward and honestly break through any setback that you might be facing at that time too. So that's just my two cents with those for sure.
That's solid. That's excellent. This, I think a lot of times we make a resolve and then we make this plan and it's this ginormous complex thing. And, you know, and then we start into it and it's like, then life, you know, the reality of our life that we created combined with this ginormous plan, they kind of don't go well. And so, yeah, I hear you that. So that's super good advice. And I like the idea. I've never really thought about that is we're going about this and trying to exercise our discipline is to, what you just said was to, think about past accomplishments, right? That, you know, to 100%. Motivate us to go forward and then having an accountability, partner, a coach, appreciate that. Roman, we could talk for a long time, but we're getting closer to the end. What would you like to leave us with today? Last thoughts for the horsemanship journey.
Definitely. I want to say this. So motivation is one of those key things that everyone, you know, needs to get going, to get started, to get that fire. you know, going, so they can actually set out and achieve that goal, that accomplishment that they want to achieve. But I want to let everyone know this. Motivation gets you going, but consistency keeps you growing. So remember that. Consistency is everything. Consistency is key, because that motivation is essential and it's very necessary to start with. You got to have at least some kind of motivation, some level of motivation to even get started in the first place, to have a why. But after that, you got to have a consistent game plan to keep you on track and keep you on course.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much. You know what? When I hear your story, I just think of all the little angels that, you know, that helped you get from where you were to where you want to be. And, you know, in some way, you may have been a little angel for somebody today. I appreciate your openness and your willingness to, you know, all of us have a bunch of times of our life have this terrible turmoil, but some of us just don't, are not too willing to talk about it. So I appreciate your story and your advice today. Where can people find out more about you and your coaching and so on? Tell us about that.
For sure. So if you want to find out more about me, what I do, and all the clients that I've helped with their transformations and their testimonials as well, you can go straight to my website, romanfisherofficial.com. And if you have any fitness goals that you might need help with, you can also go on there and fill out a quick application. And yeah, get in touch with me one-on-one.
Awesome. Roman, thank you again so much. Wish you continued success. Haven't seen the movie yet, but I'm on my way this weekend. I'm going to be looking for you.
Definitely.
Talk to you again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.